Now, everybody has like a, I don't want to say a best friend at work, but friends at work. We all have teammates. And we have teammates we really like. Joining me in studio, my teammate, Mel Ricks.
Hi.
How are you?
That was such a nice thing for you to say, because you're essentially alluding to the fact that you like me.
I do.
We may or may not be best friends at work.
Yeah, I do like you. That's why you're here.
I like you too,
so,
Steve.
You know, the story of GKB,
yeah,
right, is TMJ, the old station, then the new station, 101.7 The Truth,
yeah.
ESPN 94.5.
Yeah.
You're one of the stars on The Truth.
Oh,
you have
gosh.
Your own show 12 to 1 every day.
Yes. Well, considering that you're a star here at TMJ, I will take that as a high compliment. So thank you so much.
So for people who don't know your voice or you,
yeah,
you're kind of a famous person. I was reading your bio. It's like, wow, you do a lot of stuff. And I learned this.
Mm.
We both studied at UW-Milwaukee.
Yeah, we did.
Broadcast journalism.
Yes, we did.
So we have that in common.
Wow.
Maybe that's the connection.
That is the connection. I knew there was something about you.
Yeah.
So I love
that. Tell people like all the things you do, because you got a lot on your plate.
I do. Okay, so I wear a bunch of different hats. By the way, speaking of old school terminology, first off, I still say hump day for the record.
Good.
I like to use the camel emoji and everything. But how do you feel about people who say, what is it? Something about being a jack of all trades. Because I hear if you're a jack of all trades, it means you're not the best at anything. How do you feel about that phrase?
Yeah, I agree with that.
You do?
Yeah.
So you wouldn't say that?
No, I don't think I've ever said that.
Yeah.
Not on purpose.
No. Who would say that? So yeah, I almost started to say that. And then I'm like, wait, no, I'm not a jack of all trades, nor a Jill.
I mean, it does suggest that you know a little bit, a lot of things, which I
True.
Have said.
Yeah.
Which I think any broadcaster.
Right.
Especially that does opinion based broadcast.
Right.
You have to know a little about a lot of things.
For sure. I would agree.
All right. So let me hear the bio. The 30,
okay.
30 seconds on Mel.
Oh, gosh.
Ricks. And her illustrious bio.
Oh, thank you so much, Steve. Well, first off, as you said, I'm on 101.7 The Truth. I'm very fortunate. I have a show called Nothing But The Truth with Melanie Ricks. And essentially is we're just talking about our lives, pop culture, lifestyle, things that come up. I bring a lot of my friends onto the show. Not literally, but I bring a lot of their scenarios onto the show. It's really great. My friends give me some really good content. But besides that, I also am a host for the Milwaukee Bucks. Steve, I've been doing that for 10 years.
You actually started as a Bucks dancer, right?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Fun fact, I'm 31. I've been with the organization since I was 12.
Your whole adult life and part
whole
of your
adult
childhood.
Life. And a big part of my childhood, really, which is so funny. So yeah, from a very young age, I understood like what it meant to be an ambassador and what it meant to work for an entity bigger than you, you know, and understanding a responsibility that you hold when you work for certain entities, if you will.
And I love the fact that you go to a Bucks game, your presence is noticed. I mean,
is it? Thank you.
Yeah, and I've been to quite a few Bucks games over the last year, and we've of course had the great championship run a couple
of
years
gosh.
ago. I missed that because that was a lot
I
of fun
too. I know
that week after was off the charts,
but you know what, I don't know if we can ever duplicate that, because it was almost like the perfect storm. You know,
it had been so long.
The world was opening back up. There was no summer fest. There was really no festivals, nothing happening in Milwaukee except for that championship run. So we all kind of came together, and you know, that was our summer, or it felt so.
It just felt awesome.
Yeah, it did.
I was old enough to be around for the first one, which was also awesome.
Wait,
but not
really?
Like this. Yes, I'm old enough to remember the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
And you really remember?
Oh, absolutely.
Can you tell me something that you remember from it?
Just how cool it was.
Yeah.
I remember celebrating the fact, and I was, how old was I in seven, was it 70 or 71? 70, 71 season.
It was 71, yeah.
So I was in middle school, roughly, or junior high, we called it back then. And so that was a big deal.
Yeah,
of course.
Because
we hadn't... The Brewers hadn't really accomplished anything because they just started in 70
right.
as a new franchise from Seattle. So that was our first taste of a championship in my life.
Yeah.
So as a junior high kid, it was everything.
Really?
And then to get to experience, one, as an adult, but two, as a broadcaster, because I hosted the coverage from
For
the
sure.
parade route. I'll never forget that.
Oh, never. How could you? Okay, now I'm really intrigued. Just one more question, because I know we don't want to make it into that, but... What's something that sticks out to you that's a huge difference between the celebration in 71 versus how we celebrated in 21?
I don't know that we had a gathering place like we did in...
I would assume so, yeah, yeah.
Just that party.
Yeah.
And the feeling, and I think the other different piece, don't forget, pandemic.
I know.
To celebrate something like
something,
that.
Something, I know.
After the pandemic season the year before.
Right.
I mean, it was off the charts crazy and fun. And that's the celebration of Milwaukee, which is one of the reasons you're here. Because we're going to talk about things Milwaukee and things nationally. I love the fact that when I listen to your show, you're talking about the culture stuff.
Yeah.
You used the term last week, Some of your topics are Seinfeldian, right? The things you notice about life. I love that.
Right.
I love the concept.
Well, I like that Seinfeld is the show about nothing.
Right.
I love that concept.
Because those little nuggets mm-hmm. of nothing are actually
are
a lot
everything.
Bigger than you think they are.
Oh, they're huge. Absolutely. And that's why I say I get a lot of content from my friends and from my everyday life. Steve, I don't know if you feel this way. I feel like I'm constantly working, not because I'm a workhorse, but because life. It brings me so much content, and there's all, like, I don't know, maybe this is me just now being so immersed in the radio world, but I swear to you, I can pull a topic from anything.
It's like your radar is up.
Always
and you hear conversations
antennas are always up.
That you wouldn't have heard, not necessarily listened to in that way.
Not the
before,
same way, right.
And you bring it to the show, and really great broadcasters, and you're one of them, you have the ability to take those little nuggets and make something out of them.
Mm.
All right, I want to take a break. I want to, a couple things I want to do with you today.
Okay.
Now that we've gotten the bio thing out of the way.
Yeah.
Which we're not going to do every week.
Trust okay.
me.
Sounds good.
The Ryan Seacrest story.
Oh, gosh.
Let me just tell you this and before we go to break. You can think about it during the break.
Okay.
I appreciate his talents.
Okay.
But I've been oversaturated with Ryan Seacrest.
Ooh.
I don't need more Ryan Seacrest. So think about that. Ponder that during
the
break.
Okay, I will.
Mel Ricks joining me on WTMJ. producer Charlie listening to our conversation. Mel Ricks from 101.7 The Truth joining us. She's on every day 12 to 1. You like those new hours? You were on the morning early.
I was. I have to admit, I love the new hours.
I can imagine.
It's hard waking up before the sun gets up. It really is.
I do that every day.
I know you do.
It's so ingrained in my life.
Is it? Yeah.
On the weekends, I'm up at like 5 o'clock.
Oh, gosh.
Like, now, it's the best, most productive time that you can ever have because no one is...
Totally.
Hitting you with stuff.
Totally. And I was going to say, you prefer that?
Yes.
Getting your work done in the morning.
Yeah. And I go to bed early, too.
Okay. Well, that helps.
Which is the opposite of the way I used to be. I used to stay up till like 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't do that anymore.
Why?
Because I didn't want to miss anything.
And that's where I'm at. And it's like, what are you missing? There's nothing happening. You're inside your home.
I feel like I'm missing something.
I know. FOMO. They call it FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yes, exactly.
That's what it is.
Mel Ricks joining us in studio. So I want to just tee up this Pat Sajak's leaving Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
Ryan Seacrest, 48 years old, American Idol, the show with Kelly. I think it was an ABC show. I could be wrong.
Live with Kelly and Ryan.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was like 6 years.
Yeah.
He left.
Good tenure.
Now her husband's on with her.
Yeah, which is a whole other topic, by the way. Could you do a show like that with your wife?
Absolutely not.
No way. Anyway.
I love my wife 37,
I know, but,
38 years.
And that's why you wouldn't do a show like that with her.
Exactly. Because we figured that out.
Right.
So I've said, and I just said it to you earlier before the break, I don't dislike Ryan Seacrest.
Right.
I just don't need more Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, he's a lot. I'm not going to lie. But you know what? I think, unfortunately for you, I think he makes sense. He's somebody who has been so immersed in American culture. People know and recognize him.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And he's got a great personality. He does. But I understand the oversaturation. Now, I'm curious, what would be a preference for you? Would you want an unknown? Would you want somebody who's been in a certain field? Do you like having a broadcaster? Like, what would be the perfect scenario for that host?
That's a great question. I would go with the unknown.
The unknown.
Because the show is the thing, right?
Right.
I mean, it's kind of like, not that they did the unknown version, but Jeopardy.
Yeah.
They have two hosts now, right? They
true.
Go back and forth.
That's true.
And Alex Trebek.
I mean.
That's the legend,
he's
right?
He's a legend. But he's a legend because of that.
Yes.
You know, and technically he was an unknown.
Yeah. So I would go with the unknown. Now, do you agree with him that the show is the show?
The show is so legendary. You could have an unknown. And I actually like the idea of that as well. I like the idea of giving someone a golden opportunity, if you will. You know, Ryan Seacrest, not to say that he doesn't deserve more because he's already had so much, but I would love to see someone new take on that type of job.
Now, do you watch Wheel of Fortune? I don't.
I don't often, but if it's on, I'm glued to the TV. It's one of those. It's so good.
I told you before you started on the air, Sajak, 42 years it will be when he's done with his contract.
Which is crazy. I could see Ryan, because you said he's 48. I could see him doing this till he's 80.
Really?
Easily. Easily.
You think the show's still going to be around, Wheel of Fortune?
I do. I think it'll last
for
a while.
I'm bored by it.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, and you know what? I think you're bored by it because we've been introduced to so many other, not even mediums, that's the wrong way to put it, but just so many other types of games. I mean, you turn on, like, okay, for example, I stream a lot. I'll go on Peacock. The things that they have games for, the game shows that they have, I mean, it's just incredible. They've thought of everything, Steve. So maybe that's why you're bored.
That and the other piece that's driving me nuts is when you turn on broadcast networks, it's the all the game shows that are on in prime time now. I grew up in the environment of the MASHes of the world.
Right.
And those great, you know, Taxi and all the great sitcoms.
Yeah.
I miss that.
You do?
Yes.
So you would want a sitcom.
I do. I love them.
Okay, the most recent sitcom that I can think of, Modern Family. Did you ever get into that?
Yes. My wife loves that show, and I've watched it.
It's so good.
It's excellent. That's what I'm talking about. That presentation with a cast of characters,
yeah.
An ensemble of people that are all talented in weird, different, unique ways,
yeah.
Putting a show together, and every week it's like, I got to watch that.
You know why I think it's not as popular? Because I think that sitcoms are very, I don't even know what era to put this in, but let's say 50s, 60s America. I think it is representative of that, where it's like the cookie cutter, we're going to solve all of our problems in 20 minutes or less. And I don't think that's reality for most people. And so they prefer, you know, something that's a little bit more dramatic, a little bit more, oh, this isn't going to be wrapped up with a bow.
Why do you watch TV? Is it to escape reality?
To escape reality, for sure. So you would think they would like sitcoms.
Yeah, right.
But I would tell you, this is something I've learned from my friends. They watch trash television because they like seeing other people's garbage and they don't want to think about their own.
Is that healthy?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
There's so much of that now.
I know it.
I have two daughters. They're in their 30s.
Okay.
And they're moms and they have husbands and they love reality TV.
Love.
But that's kind of the world they grew up in, right?
Totally.
It was starting the Kardashians.
Yes.
What is the other one?
Housewives and Say Yes to the Dress. Yep. 90 Day Fiance. All those.
You're not married, right?
I am not married, and I don't have kids. So I feel like I'm unique in that, but at the same time, I'm not. I have a lot of friends that are married, have children, but again, I'm 31 and I don't have any kids yet, and I feel like, oh my gosh, I'm the only one. But I hear a lot that us millennials are just not having kids.
You have time.
Do I have time?
Did you say you're 31?
I am 31.
All right. What is the rush? What is the rush?
Well, you know, us women, we don't have children for as long as men do, typically.
We did that as a topic because guys, you can have kids into your 80s.
You can be 100, yeah. Okay, and popping one out.
Yeah. Women, not so much.
Not so much.
All right. You threw a term at me yesterday and we were kind of going back and forth away from the show that I want to delve into because I think I do this. Subconsciously, maybe consciously,
yeah.
The term is
code switching.
Yeah, and you'll define it for the audience.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I'm guilty. Do you do this?
I do, and I think it's a good thing. You know, because code switching, I think it's being able to adapt to another's environment, vernacular, etc., making people feel comfortable. And I think the reason why a lot of us do it is to make others feel comfortable and to feel like we belong and are accepted in certain environments.
I'm just curious on the old National Bank talk and text line. If you've heard that term, don't Google it. That's cheating.
Yeah.
Don't Google
it. Don't Google it.
Yeah,
don't. Too easy.
Code switching. We're going to talk about that with Mel Ricks from The Truth 101.7 after this on WTMJ. You can tell when the producers listen, Mel. Mel Ricks joining us in studio from the 101.7 The Truth because he plays the bumper music.
I love it.
All right. You threw a term at me last night. We're going to do this every week. We're kind of going to go back and forth on some things that we notice.
Yeah.
And you threw this term at me. Define it. Code switching.
Yeah. So I know you told them not to Google it, but I did look up the true definition just so that people know. And it's the practice of alternating between two or more languages or varieties of language in conversation. Now, for me, I would expand that a lot more. And I would say it really is, like I said before, adapting to the group of people that you're with, perhaps adapting to a certain environment. For example, Steve, the way that I'm talking to you right now, sure, maybe I would talk to my mom the same way, but the conversations I have with my girlfriends, I'm not going to have with my mom. Right, you know what I mean? And that right. Essentially is a code switch, if that makes
sense. How about this? So my conversations with my guy friends,
yeah,
I'm going to use a lot of expletives usually. I'm not going to be doing that in this. So sort of a version of that?
It's a version of it. It is. And you know what's interesting? You had asked me something during the break, which was, does it jeopardize your sense of self? Authenticity. Yeah. There it is. That's what you said. I think to some degree it could, but I always try to, not even try, I always am me, but I think there are layers to me. I kind of view myself as a lasagna. I don't think that I'm just one layer.
Good
I think
Italian
that there's so many.
For a show with my name.
Yeah, I got you. I love that. But yeah.
So you threw this at me and I'm thinking, I think I kind of do this. And I gave you the example during the break, like when I'm with my developer friends, I tend to talk in a different way. It's more, I was an elected official and more in the elected official vernacular.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was telling the example, I jump on with Tori Lowe every once in a while and I'm much more relaxed and just free flowing because he brings it out of you.
I know.
So is that inauthentic or is that just me being relaxed?
I think it's you being relaxed. I think it's you code switching and I don't think it's inauthentic. I think the only way that I would perceive it as such is if you felt like you were being someone you're not. You know, if you're going onto the Tori Lowe show and you're having all these conversations, and you don't believe what you're saying, you don't believe in what you're doing, then it's inauthentic. And then that's not code switching. That's you pretending to be something you're not.
Does everybody do this?
I do think so. I do. I think some, believe it or not, are always 100% themselves. I tend to call those type of people narcissists. And only because, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, but I think those who don't code switch ever, I think that they're very comfortable with who they are and they kind of feel like you're going to take me as I am. And I actually do respect that attitude, but I also think it's important to be able to make others around you feel comfortable. However, not everyone views the world the way that I do.
How about the language piece of that? So there are specific languages. We all have our different dialects.
Totally.
And neighborhoods have different dialects sometimes, especially in Europe, and vastly different.
Totally.
I was in Italy a couple times in the last few years. Throughout that country, neighborhoods have their own language. You go a mile away, completely different.
Yep.
Does that happen here?
I think it does. I really do. I mean, for example, Spanish slang is totally different here than it is if you were to go to Mexico or if you go to Puerto Rico. Like, I have friends that are from different regions, and I'm telling you, depending on where they are, they don't even understand one another's slang. Like, I have a Peruvian friend. His slang is completely different from my Mexican friends, but they speak the same language. And it's like, how is that possible? Us Americans do the same thing. There's slang that I have that you probably wouldn't be able to understand, but if I teach it to you, you're like, oh, yeah, I know what that means.
Well, as we get to know each other over the next weeks and months and years ahead, we can figure each other out.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
All right, Mel Ricks, it's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Looking forward to Wednesdays with Mel.
Yes.
Quick peek at what you're talking about today on your show, 12 to 1 on The Truth.
On Wednesdays, we actually do hot takes. So we're going to present some hot takes to everybody. And my hot take, I'll go ahead and give them a preview. Whenever someone has food in their teeth or something on their face, you should tell them. A good friend will do so. And you know what? I'll even go up to a stranger and tell them because that's what I would want. That's my hot take.
I agree with you.
You
should tell, because otherwise you're going to be walking around all day with that thing in her.
And wouldn't you be upset if you get home and you're like, what? No one told me?
My wife's really big on that. Whenever she eats in a restaurant, do I have anything in my teeth?
Yeah.
And I tell her.
As you should. As you should. You're a good friend. You're a good husband.
All right. Mel Ricks. Wednesdays with Mel. We'll do it every Wednesday here on WTMJ.